parenting is not all sunshine and rainbows, and if you are waiting for a point where you feel just totally serene with everything, when you have nothing but a placid smile on your face no matter what's going on, that's not going to come. If you are happy all the time with your kid, you're delusional. You're listening to Dadsplaining, a weekly chronicle of all the weirdest, messiest, grossest, and funniest parts of fatherhood, hosted by two first-time dads. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Brandon.
And today we're going to be talking about just getting the hang of parenting. I mean, we are both roughly a year into it at this point, and there's still a lot that we don't know. I mean, you get thrown into the whole dad thing without a training manual, without instructions, and you do a lot wrong at first, and some of it you kind of figure out along the way, but a lot of it you don't. So we're going to talk about all of that. But before we get into it, Brandon, if our listeners want to connect with us, where can they find us?
You can find us on all major social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dadsplaining Podcast. You can drop us an email at dadsplainingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Fantastic. So, Brandon, what's new with Noah this week?
Not a whole lot new this week. We're still kind of dealing with the eternal cycle of ear infections, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not too fun. But I had a pretty interesting experience myself this week. Just the other night, I actually participated in a research study of dads about childcare, different options, you know, what you like, what you don't like, why you choose your different childcare options, whether it's daycare or family or nanny or whatever. It was a pretty interesting experience. And really, it was maybe me and like 10 other dads in a room, you know, with kind of like a moderator asking us a little bit of these questions and just trying to get a feel for like why we felt the way we felt about different things. It was pretty interesting because it was, it had a little bit of a kind of political flavor to it.
Uh-huh.
Not in a divisive way per se, but just in a sense of like, hey, if you feel like paid family leave is important, or if you feel like flexible working hours are important, or
right.
if you think that your employer should be providing benefits, or the government should be providing benefits, like how would you, what would you like to see?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the responsibility lies? So it was pretty interesting to talk about and hear other dads who, you know, are strangers to me, but we're
yeah.
all kind of bonded because we have kids,
yeah.
Which puts us into this, you know, cool, exclusive group,
mm-hmm.
To hear other dads talk about their experiences, like the struggles, what it is with them, or, you know, even some things that we all kind of disagree on. You know, like, I'm pretty gung-ho on, you know, the government should be doing more to kind of step in and provide benefits. You know,
mm-hmm.
paid family leave should be a thing, like, you know, paternity leave, of course, you know, for dads, I think is really critical. But I mean, we don't even have guaranteed maternity leave for moms,
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on the business. I mean, and no one's, you know, against those things. But I think it's also important and interesting to kind of see how none of us are, I guess, asking for it. There was an interesting
mm-hmm.
moment where they talked about the local being the state of Georgia
mm-hmm.
governor race we just had. And they were like, what were the topics that the candidates discussed? Did family and childcare come up? And we're all like, no, it didn't. Like,
mm-hmm.
nobody talked about it.
Yeah.
And yet it's important to all of us parents so much, like daycare and costs and time off and flexibility at work. You know, we all kind of feel like you don't have enough.
Right.
And there should be more, but then nobody's really talking about it. And so, you know, we kind of had a moment of like, should we be demanding it more? Should we be asking for it more? Should we be expecting
mm-hmm.
politicians to make it more of their platform? So I don't know. It was just kind of, that was an interesting moment for me where I was like, oh, you know what? We sort of let them talk about these flash in the pan moments and like something that maybe a lot of us, because a lot of us are parents, or a lot of us have been kids or know someone who's a parent, could probably get behind, but we're not really kind of pushing for that. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. It was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. That's kind of cool, too, that you get to kind of get into a room with other dads and kind of, you know, talk about stuff, especially with complete strangers, people that you might not have, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
crossed paths with otherwise.
Yeah, and really the funny part about doing something like this is they try to get as diverse of opinions as possible. So,
yeah.
like, there's literally one of every type of person
uh-huh.
in the room, so it feels always a little bit funny to be like, wow, this is the most diverse room of 12 people, because
uh-huh.
we all fit like one specific box
right.
of archetype. So I was the super white dude in the room, and then there was one of just about every other kind of person, and so you really got a wide range of possibilities, yet
mm-hmm.
we all kind of just universally care about our kids, and that's really what we were there talking about the most.
Nice.
So what's been going on with you guys, Jesse?
So we had a pretty laid-back week. Over the weekend, we took David down to my family to visit.
Nice.
We had a sort of a big get-together at my cousin's house. She cooked. She's got this like big old play area for my son, David, who is coming up on 15 months old, and her son, who is roughly the same age as your son, actually. Like, they're pretty close together.
Yeah, about 10 months.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhere they're not too far apart. And I've talked about this before, where they have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
David is a lot more introverted and kind of keeps to himself, and he doesn't always do really well in with big group get-togethers.
Yeah.
And Deuce, his little cousin, is much more extroverted and does really well in those kinds of settings, and is kind of an attention getter. Like, he loves to kind of have the eyes on him, and he's very outgoing, which is really cool. And they clash sometimes in the past, where Deuce, who is more outgoing, will kind of climb on David and kind of, you know, touch him and put his hands on him and stuff like that. And David freaks out like that sometimes. And this weekend was really cool because I'm noticing David kind of develop his social skills. He was much more. He kind of stood up for himself in certain areas where if he didn't like what was going on, he would push back on it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He got used to the big group faster than he usually does. You know, by the end of it, he was having fun playing with everybody, walking around, pushing his little cousin on a wheelie cart, wheelie wagon kind of thing.
Nice.
So they were getting along a lot better than they have in the past, which made me really happy as a dad. We talked even last week about socialization, where sometimes I worry that my son is too introverted and, you know, has a hard time coping with big groups.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm already seeing him develop in that area, which is really reassuring.
Yeah, awesome. And I mean, it just gets even more adorable when you go from one kid to two kids.
Oh, yeah.
Double the cuteness.
No, totally, yeah. I mean, but other than that, it's been pretty chill. He is still taking steps. He's actually getting a lot more confident in his ability to stand on his own and take steps.
Nice.
The other day, my wife and I sat in his little playpen and, you know, sat, I don't know, maybe 5 feet apart from each other and just kind of passed him back and forth. We would stand him up and make him walk to the other parent. And
awesome.
He gets excited. He'll take like 3 or 4 steps and then he'll dive right into us where he's like, okay, I can't go anymore. I'm going to take a dive. And he loves it. He's really excited by the fact that he can do this on his own.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool as a parent watching your kid kind of figure out what they can and can't do. All right, so on to today's topic. We are going to be talking about just all the stuff that we haven't figured out yet as parents, the things we had to learn along the way, stuff that we got kind of thrown into. Some of it we figured out, some of it we haven't. You know, now that my son is coming up on 15 months old, there's a lot that I did really wrong in the very beginning, and I've gotten better and more confident in it, but not everything goes that way. You know, have you found that to be true, Brandon?
Yeah, I think it's been a super, super, super steep curve for parenting, which is not surprising probably to people. But I think what's interesting to me about the experience so far is that you'd go in knowing nothing if it's your first one, generally speaking, and you learn and you learn and you learn and you learn. And then there are some things that you just can't. It's not tactical, you know, and you can't learn it so much. You almost kind of have to start just getting used to it and kind of accepting it. And that's what I really had been thinking about and why I wanted to talk about this today. So something like changing a diaper, understanding how to put your son down for a nap, thinking about feeding, bottle feeding, breastfeeding, whatever, you know, solid foods, purees, whatever it is. Like, those are all things that you can kind of learn by doing.
Yeah.
But we've talked about, I don't know, just about all of those so far. So if any of those sound interesting, go find a previous episode. But it's the stuff that is almost kind of the emotional that you could never expect and you never have a way to just master it so much because it's not a task that you can get better at. So for me, it's been difficult as a parent, and there's difficulties that we all face, and those are the things that are probably been the most surprising to date. Like, how isolating it can feel to think that you're not doing a good job, to think that you're not being a good parent, or to feel like just straight depression at moments because you're like, why can't I understand my child?
Right.
Why can't, you know, me and my wife figure this out? There's two of us. There's one of him. Like, or even if I'm struggling or my wife is struggling, like, we're not able to help one another through it. Like, you know, we're people, we're individuals at the end of the day, even though there's two of us. So it's been difficult to kind of come to grips with those moments. And I would have never thought, nobody thinks about the downsides of parenting, think about the joys of parenting. So for me, not to make, you know, this a wet blanket moment, but it's just like the struggle is real.
Oh, yeah.
As a parent. And in a lot of ways, it's been very difficult because how do you kind of get through that? Because I, you know, we're both pretty new into this still. So it gets better? Question mark. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
The challenges get replaced. What are you thinking? You think it's better on the horizon?
I mean, I think you just eventually learn to be okay with the level that you're at.
Yeah.
So what hits me is a lot of times the guilt when I do something wrong.
Yeah,
like I tend to beat myself up as a dad. You know, I talked about this last week where my son got injured twice in 1 week, you know, pinching himself once in the bathtub drain and once in his playpen. And I felt really guilty about it both times. I was like, I can't believe that happened on my watch. I'm the dad. I'm supposed to keep him safe.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, then my wife steps in and reminds me, hey, you know, he's going to get hurt. It's going to happen.
Right.
But that's one of the things I've struggled with so much is learning to just let go and let things happen. I remember months ago when David was learning to sleep in his room by himself in his crib, I would have such a hard time just letting him fall asleep and letting him cry it out, you know, if he woke up crying.
Yeah.
I was almost a helicopter parent for a little while. I would rock him to sleep. And because this was a time when my wife couldn't do those things because she had broken her knee.
Right.
This was back earlier during the summer. I talked about this several episodes back. She was injured for a long time, so I was handling a lot of the heavy lifting, you know, the bath.
The literal lifting. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. The bath time, the bedtime, getting him up in the morning, that kind of stuff, because she just couldn't do that physically. But I got so used to it that I would spend a lot of time with him at night, getting him to go to sleep. And then if he would wake up, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes later, I would go back in and I would start the process over completely.
Oh, yeah.
So that he was not learning to cope with being in a room by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, my wife had to step in and be like, just let him do it. He's not going to learn to sleep on his own if you keep going in and rescuing him. He's just going to get dependent on that. And I mean, you know, not saying that she was just like stone cold, like, you know, ripping off the Band-Aid and was fine with
it. Like,
full detachment. Yeah, it was totally tough for her too, like moving him out of the room with us and into that room. But I just had a hard time letting go and letting things happen. I wanted to, and I still have to fight the urge to want to control everything.
Mm-hmm. If you're lucky to have two of you involved in parenting, again, single parents, like, Jesus Christ, props to you.
I have no idea how they
do it. We can't even fathom it, so we're just not even going to talk about it. But there's two of us, and I think it's critical that there are two of us because a lot of the time, one of you, your job has to be to make the other person get through it.
Yeah.
Either that is telling them what they need to hear, pushing them where they maybe are reluctant, or just giving them that space to get away for a moment, and then you kind of take over.
Yeah.
That has been instrumental, is just kind of determining that because there are two of us between my wife and I, when one of us needs to tap out, we got to tap out.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot stay in that moment. So when I'm talking about those moments where you feel that guilt that you're talking about, Jesse, or just like, for me, shame almost sometimes. I mean, kind of similar with the guilt, but like, wow, why can't I do better? Like, shouldn't I be better? Shouldn't I have figured this out yet?
Yeah.
As a parent, you need somebody else to take over in that moment so that you can kind of deal with that and kind of get through it for a moment. And you don't want to bring that energy in to parenting if you can help it.
Yeah.
But it's really hard. And there are times when both my wife and I are feeling it at the same time, and there's just nothing you can do about it because there's only two of you in that moment.
Yeah.
But trying to deal with it in general, and I think for me, I don't know, this podcast is helpful. We get to talk about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I write about it. You know, I don't have a journal really, but I have I have a journal where I kind of write, but I don't write on a regular basis. But every now and then it helps me feel good about it.
Yeah.
Just to get those thoughts out there. And I think it also helps just knowing that we're not alone and we're not really failing is the toughest thing to come to grips with.
Yeah.
that the failure of the moment isn't like an eternal failure as a parent, but it sure feels that way.
Yeah.
Some of these times. And I think that one of the ways this kind of resonates maybe with other parents is that you feel almost like an imposter, like, oh, I'm not really a parent. Like, I got into this. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm not good at this. Like, what do I do? And, I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but, I mean, I've had those thoughts before. I mean, if we're just being honest, like, I've had those thoughts of, like, man, maybe I didn't really know what I was getting into.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I didn't think it all through, not because I don't want to be a parent now, but you just have those moments where you're like, my gosh, like, I thought I was mentally prepared.
Yeah.
Not mentally prepared because it's hard, but, you know, I thought I was prepared. I thought I could, you know, just have the positivity to get through it. But, man, some of those down moments are really tough.
Yeah, well, and you thought, you know, you're like, I thought it would just kick in. I thought I would just know these things. And some of them just don't come naturally.
Yeah.
And you talk about feeling like an imposter because then there's the added pressure of, well, everyone thinks I'm a dad. And on the outside, it kind of looks like I've got it all together. No one sees those moments at home where I'm freaking out and I don't know what to do. And, you know, there's pee all over the walls and I didn't know how to change that diaper. You know, how do I live up to that standard that everyone's holding me up to? Like, that's really hard. And it's kind of funny. I did not think we'd be getting into the heavy stuff this early in the podcast. Usually this happens about 15, 20 minutes in. But
just
I love
right
it.
Into
it's
it.
Happening. Let's just dive right in. You know, because there's all the little things kind of can pile up and make you know, can kind of shake that confidence. Like, in the beginning, diaper changes were so hard for me. And over time, I kind of learned to get better at them. And, you know, you learn more things along the way. You know, we talked several episodes back.
Yep.
This is kind of a funny aside. About the little ruffles at the edge of the diaper.
Yeah,
and
we realized
should they go
we didn't
in or should they go out? And we were thinking opposite about it because you thought they should go out, right?
Yep.
And I thought they should go in. And I asked my wife, and we were neither of us were sure. We were just both kind of, you know, winging it. And I looked it up, and according to fatherly.com, and I'm not saying this is the end-all be-all because I've never heard of this website, but they're saying, like, make sure that the outer ruffle is not tucked in because that's there as an extra barrier for blowouts.
There you go.
And so I've been tucking them out, you know, lately, and I haven't really noticed any issues. Like, he even almost had a blowout earlier this week, and it didn't get through to the clothes.
But you prevented it because we talked about it, so there you go. We got many, many months in, and we realized we didn't know how to change diapers.
Yeah, exactly. And even just this past, in the past 2 weeks, my wife has kind of shown me something I'm doing wrong where when you fold up the front of the diaper and then you take the two tabs and kind of press them onto the front of the diaper, I had been kind of trying to get them up to the top rim of the diaper, and the problem is because of that, sort of the front of it kind of droops down sort of around his legs, and she's saying, no, you want those ends to be up, so you kind of want the tabs to go more down towards the middle of the diaper. I don't really know how to explain it because it's a visual thing, but now that I've made that adjustment, his diapers are staying on a lot better, and he's not having any accidents. Like, he had to change clothes at daycare the other day, not because of us, because, you know, they had a diaper change in the middle of the day, and I think the teacher maybe didn't do it
right. That's
right.
It's their fault. It's not your fault.
Exactly. I would have prevented that. and this is another aside, and I'll be quick with this, but thank God for daycare.
Yeah.
Earlier this week here in the state of Georgia, they declared a snow day because we thought it might snow, and of course it didn't snow,
but we're
in the south, and we freak out over everything. daycare closed, so we had to keep David home. So I worked from home, my wife worked from home, and we just traded off. You know, we tag teamed it, like you talked about earlier.
Yep.
And it was so exhausting for both of us. Like, you know, you can't really get through a solid hour's worth of work because you've got to balance your time with your kid. And of course, my wife has like three conference calls that she has to lead. So there are times when she has to kind of shut herself up in the room, and I have to go away with him and kind of keep him quiet. And it's fun because you get to spend time with your kid one-on-one.
Yeah.
But man, is it exhausting. We're like, thank God for nap time. Can we put him to bed early tonight? You know, just to kind of take the rest of the night off.
Right, take that edge off. Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you mentioned it because that's definitely one of my big ones. So if we maybe transition to thinking of like specific things that we've had to learn to you know, accept, you know, and do better and just kind of rolling with the punches. It's definitely the time that I spend with my son.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the biggest one. I don't know. But it's the thing that just directly feeds right into the shame and the guilt, right?
Yeah.
You equate the amount of time you spend with your kid to how much you love them
mm-hmm.
or how good of a parent you are or, you know, how much you care, et cetera, et cetera. And so when they're going to daycare and you're going to work, and both of us are in situations where both, you know, ourselves and our wives all work and both of our kids go to daycare. So, you know, every day the 40 hours we're putting in, that's 40 hours our kids are putting in at daycare. They're not with us.
Mm-hmm.
So getting used to spending only, quote unquote, you know, 2 hours a night with them.
Yeah.
When we all get home and that's the only time we have and then they go to bed. And there's just a tremendous amount of guilt about that. Am I doing enough? I mean, you only get, if you, the way, depending on how you want to look at it, right? You can mm-hmm. have this super pessimistic view, which I had for a long time of like, well, I only spend the weekends with my kid where I'm with them, you know, for 8 hours or mm-hmm. what, you know, 12 hours a day. And then during the week, it's only 2 hours a day. Like that just kind of racks you with a lot of guilt of like, well, you're the parent. Shouldn't you want to spend more time with them? Shouldn't it be done in a different way? But the thing that I've had to come to grips with is like almost thinking about how I'm a better parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that.
Yeah.
So it's going to sound crazy, but by spending less time with my kid, I'm a better parent.
Well, you can pack in more quality time.
Right? Because the quality time, but also it's like we as humans need to feel like we are still adults. We need that time at work where mm-hmm. we're being grown-ups or whatever. We almost need that detachment because you talked about if you spend all day with your kid, you kind of go a little crazy.
Yeah.
And it's not that we can't ever do it, but you know we need that for our own health.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, and this is something also that we talked about back in, we've had several episodes on this about stay-at-home parenting versus going back to work versus having your kid in daycare and even, you know, getting into a routine with your kid, which is really hard when you work and when your kid's in daycare. But listen to the episode Setting Routines. I talk about an article about primetime parenting,
mm-hmm.
which is great for working parents. You know, you may only have 2 hours a day with your kid before he has to go to bed, especially if you're a parent like me who has to leave for work before your child wakes up in the morning. But it's all about kind of packing that time in with your kid, like turning off the phone, putting that aside, and making sure that that's good quality time. And then because if parents who have to spread that out over the whole day, it is really hard to recharge your batteries and feel like an adult. So, you know, hats off to you guys if you're stay-at-home parents. I don't know how you do it. You're just built with different parts than we are.
Stronger than we are.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You got those Wheaties.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about the shame, the guilt, the downside, the emotionally that you can experience, but in terms of how you can kind of make it through, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how you don't really just get better at everything because a lot of this is emotional. A lot of this is stuff that's not tactical that you can just master.
Mm-hmm.
And things that we've found helpful are, you know, for my wife, she joined a mommy group and she's been going ever since our son was born, which is crazy to think about because it's been, 10 months now.
Yeah.
And so once a week, even though it's only once a week, she's around other parents. You and I have the luxury of talking every week as well. This is like our daddy group. So we get to do this kind of support therapy for one another where we get to talk about our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been helpful to have some kind of a sense of a community. So I highly recommend that for people. Find a group, find a play date group, go to a gymboree class, whatever it is. Like find some moments where you as the parent can be around other parents and you kind of commiserate. There's something nice about, you know, sharing the load emotionally with other people.
Yeah,
And I think it was my mother-in-law, you know, who likes to give credit to their parents, not many people, less so mother-in-laws, but my mother-in-law, I think, made a pretty good point, which is that kids grow up incrementally. They grow up very slowly for you, and that's almost on purpose, so it gives you plenty of time to react, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my son is 10 months, and every month he's growing a little bit, but he, you know, has he changed drastically? He's still an infant, he's still a baby, so there's plenty of time for me over those 10 months to learn a lot of these things,
mm-hmm.
right? And for you, Jesse, almost 15 months, you've had 15 months of time to learn to be a parent, and then as they grow up, we'll have years and years, so we'll have a lot of time to kind of adapt and roll with the punches. And so that was kind of comforting to me just to think about it in terms of the long game, like we're gonna get 18 years of trying to be decent parents before they maybe go off for the first time officially.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you remind me of when my wife was still pregnant and we went out and bought a bunch of parenting books.
Mm-hmm.
Most of, like, she bought all the pregnancy books and I bought books about, like, you know, how to speak so children will listen. Like, I picked up books that won't matter until my son is like 2 or 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know where those books are now. Like, by the time it gets to that point, you know, but I was so worried about the future. It just didn't occur to me that you've got like years of time to spend with your kid dealing with him at the little phases before he moves on to the big things. And worrying about the future is not going to help you at this point. So before we close out today, I want to bring up a question that someone wrote into the Washington Post last week. They wrote to the Post has a mom who writes for them named Megan Leahy. She takes parenting questions. And a mom wrote in, basically, she's got a 3.5-year-old daughter. And she says, I love my child, but I don't love parenting. I am in love with my kid. She's amazing. She's magic. But I at times feel resentful being a mom. Like, I feel like I miss that alone time, like having space, having time, being my own person. And I'm waiting for falling in love with the moment. I'm waiting for that time when I am going to feel at peace with everything. Like, what do I do? And Megan's advice, which I think is pretty insightful, is that moment's not really going to come in the way that you think it is. Like, parenting is not all sunshine and rainbows, and if you are waiting for a point where you feel just totally serene with everything when you have nothing but a placid smile on your face no matter what's going on, that's not going to come. If you were happy all the time with your kid, you're delusional.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
right.
The moments when you're reading your child a bedtime story and they're falling asleep smiling in your arms, like, those moments are real, but there are also the moments when they're projectile vomiting all over you and they're screaming and you can't get them to stop.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be happy in those moments because those are not good moments. You know, all of those points in time are real and you just have to deal with them. And I think that's something that we kind of deal with. It's like, when am I going to feel like a parent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when am I going to feel like I've got it all and I can just handle anything that comes my way? And no matter what's going on, I know that I'm doing my best and that kind of stuff. That's not really the point. You know, the point isn't to be completely at peace and happy with every moment of parenting. The point is to be a good parent and to set up your kid for a good life. Like, that was the deal you entered into when you became a parent.
You know? We put way too much pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think if you take anything away from this episode, that's the way you and I are feeling right now, is we recognize that we overwhelm ourselves maybe more than anything, and we just don't give ourselves enough credit.
Yeah, and we just got a good comment in the Facebook Live. By the way, if you're listening to this and you don't follow us on Facebook, go ahead and follow us on Facebook, because we stream most of our episode recording sessions live, so you get to actually see us and hear us at the same time, which is kind of cool. Lee writes in and says, as a parent, having a mental break is healthy for you and the kids. Yeah. And that's definitely true. Like, I have my me time. Usually it's when I'm riding home from work and I get to listen to some music or listen to a fun podcast. But that's kind of all I really have time for, unless I force myself to wake up an extra half hour in the morning so I can, you know, have fun before work quietly, you know, on Facebook or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
There's not much room for that as a parent. And I think sometimes the phrase, you know, have some self-care, it is good, but that's almost added pressure. It's like, when am I going to find an hour a day to do yoga?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, like, get peace of mind and meditate and all that stuff. Like, you have to take the little moments.
Yeah, it's like, don't force it. Just recognize that if you have that time, you're doing it. So if you feel guilty about not spending enough time with your kid and you have an hour to yourself unexpectedly, like, don't feel guilty about that. Like, go have fun. Or if your kid is driving you up the wall, like you were talking about, Jesse, put him to sleep a little early if you can, and, like, have an extra free 30 minutes of your night. You know, like, it's okay.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of Dadsplaining. Hey, Brandon, once again, if our listeners want to connect with us with a question or a comment, where can they find us?
You can find us on all major social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Follow us at Dadsplaining Podcast. You can drop us an email at dadsplainingpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I want to specifically, really quickly, call out our Spotify listeners. I was looking this week, and I noticed that our audience is really growing on Spotify, and I think that's awesome. So if you found us on there, hey, we love having you. Do us a favor and tell your friends about us. Leave us a rating and a review. We love growing on all the platforms we're on. I know now we're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, CastBox, a lot of those. And wherever you find us, we're glad that you found us. And we want to hear from you, so definitely reach out to us. Hey, Brandon, what are we going to talk about next week?
So next week, we're going to talk a little bit about a topic that can be a little controversial, helicopter parenting. And it's not as if something that you only start doing when you have an infant like we do, but it can happen at any time. There's actually a pretty interesting video that we found that was recently done that talked about a different kind of approach of basically like let kids be kids, which kind of jives really well with the anti-helicopter parenting. So we're going to share that video. Check us out on Facebook and our other social media to check it out, and then we'll be discussing it next week.
Awesome. So until next time, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Brandon.
And hey, Brandon, why don't seagulls fly over the San Francisco Bay?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because then they'd be bagels.
Oh, love a good bagel. Hey, Jesse, do you want to hear a joke about construction?
Sure.
Oh, never mind. I'm still working on it.
Get back to me. All right. Thanks for listening.